Stand and sing it. Number 96. At the cross, I think it's in flats. 129.
The burden of my heart rolled away. Amen. Good evening. Welcome to Tabernacle Baptist Church this evening. Welcome to summer. Amen. I was talking to my wife today. Only in Texas can you go from 4 degrees to 72 in 5 days, right? So hope you're enjoying the normal weather for Texas this time of year had a good time this afternoon. I don't know about you, but knowing the weather's okay. I mean, I had the best nap this afternoon and just kind of all that pent-up stress, just relax and everything. So just had a good time with that. Just want to mention a couple of prayer requests. Mentioned this morning, pray for the Stars. They did have a wreck. They're okay, but they need some repairs done on their vehicle. So pray that they will be able to get that done this week and done quickly. It happened, I think, Wednesday or Thursday, they're not getting the insurance adjusted there until Tuesday. So pray for that. Also pray for Tim Lewis, our missionary in Papua New Guinea. He has pericarditis, which is an inflammation fluid around the lining, his pericardium of his heart. So it causes a lot of pain. It also gives him difficulty breathing. So pray for him. Pray for Brother Ko on the upswing, doing well, and watch him from home today. So continue to pray for his recovery. Pray for Mrs. Grab, broke her hand in 3 places, sledding. I guess that's a good way to do that, but she has broke some of the miter bones in her hand, so doing okay. It's splinted and everything. Just pray that it heals straight, and pray for the Nitzes, and also pray for Becca's father and brother moving down here to Texas here in a couple of weeks, so looking forward to that, and so there might be some help needed there, so letting all the young men with strong backs and strong arms, right, that we might need to step in and give a hand there, so let everyone know about that. And good to have Tony and Rachel here with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Mr. Manly Man over there. All right. And no one tells me that they're expecting. No one tells me these things. And so they're expecting a baby girl here in about a month. So who didn't tell me? Christy, you didn't tell me? Did you know? You know? Oh, so you know. See, communication issues and things. But anyway, so glad to have them here tonight. Good to see Zoe and everybody this evening. So glad they were able to make it over from Gatesville. All right, a little bit of a drive, but it's worth it, man. All right, glad to have you here tonight. So let's pray and ask God's blessing tonight. Dearly Father, we thank you, Lord, for our friends, Sonny and Rachel, being back with us tonight. We just pray that you would bless the rest of the pregnancy, dear Lord, as it goes to the final weeks, and that all would go well according to your will, dear Lord Jesus. We pray that you would be with these other requests for the Stars and Brother Lewis, Brother Ko, Mrs. Grab, and the Nitzes, and the Zdarskis, Lord. We just pray for all of these needs, that you would meet every need perfectly and the way that you can, that you give wisdom, give direction, and give protection. And Lord, we pray that you be with our service tonight. We thank you for the wonderful service being back together this morning. And we pray, dear Lord, that we'd be encouraged tonight in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
139, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The choir is coming right on the last verse of this song. 139, when I see the blood. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sin.
Judgment is coming, all will be there. Peace will receive.
Say that a lot about the music, but we are blessed with so many talented people. But not only talented people, I think there's more than just that, but people that really wish to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's really important as well. So not only talented people, but dedicated people. So very thankful for everyone that works in the music ministry. And we're just excited, amen. 2021 has been a good year so far.
Amen.
Except for the snow apocalypse, but, you know, it's good. We're getting back on track, amen? So this Thursday, we're having our sweetheart banquet, finally, 2 weeks in the making. Got that back on schedule. Thursday night at 6:30, we'll be hosting that at Arby's Italian Restaurant in Harker Heights. So child care will be provided at the church starting at 6 p.m. Cost is $25 per couple, and it's due by the evening service tonight. Now, of course, we've changed the date twice, so if you'd like to come, the sign-up list is still in the hallway if you're planning to attend, and we're looking forward to having a great time over there, have a devotional, having a game, and all of that. Then we have Spring Revival with Evangelist Barry Webb right here. We have 2,500 flyers, so make sure you're giving them out to everybody at Walmart, giving them out to people you buy fast food from, hand them out everywhere. 2,500. Well, that doesn't sound like a whole lot. It's a but it's better when it's a hand-to-hand invitation and you can invite them, I want you to be my special guest for revival. So or go give them to your neighbors. How many of you know your neighbors? You know your neighbors. Most of you do, you know. That's good. We know what we know. Well, two met one of our neighbors. Oh, my microphone is not on. Whoops. There we go. Everybody can hear me now? All right, good. All right. So I know one of my neighbors I haven't met. I've seen the other one, have met him on the other side. Kind of reclusive. You know when you got neighbors kind of reclusive on one side, you know, and they just kind of walk out and they kind of look at you, and then when you look at them, they duck back inside. So I got a neighbor on one side like that, but going to try and invite everybody there. So we're looking forward to that. Revival. March 7th through the 12th, that Sunday through Friday. Of course, Sunday service, regularly scheduled services, and then Monday through Friday, 7 p.m., and going to be here at the church. And on March 7th, which is that Sunday, we're going to have a potluck fellowship after the morning service to fellowship with our evangelist and with one another. Amen. I think it will be our first real big fellowship we've had in quite a while. And so potluck means bring your own food and bring a little bit extra for everybody else. If you don't cook, it's okay. Talk to my wife about that. Church is going to be providing drinks for that. So that will be over in Harvey Hall. Then we have Ladies Fellowship meeting coming up March 5th. That's a Friday at 6:30. And then the Children's Worker Safety Training is going to be next Saturday at 1 p.m. I know I've had some people tell me that they're not able to come. It's okay. Traveling or different things like that or work. We're going to record it. I would do it later, but then we got revival. We got all these things coming in. I wouldn't be able to do it near the end of March. So we need to get it done and get going with the year. So just deciding to stick with it for this next Saturday. But it will be recorded, and people can watch the video afterwards. So that was the nice thing about doing it. The first time I did it was last year, so we had people come in mid-year, midstream, and just be able to give that video to them and go through all of that. That was a great blessing to be able to do that. So if you're interested in children's ministry, please come to that meeting so you can get certified for the year. Okay, I think that is all my announcements. Preaching conference is coming up. Talked to Brother Starr yesterday. Excited to see some of us there, and his son's going to be preaching, and also Dr. David Sorensen. Actually, I actually got the flyer for it and everything. They're kind of, they're doing good with it, but they're kind of been trying to get things all organized. Last year, they had to cancel preaching conference, first time, I think, was in 35 years, I think, had to cancel it because of COVID and all of that. So looking forward to having a good conference this year. So we are taking a group up there. So right now, we have, I think we had two slots left in the 15-passenger van. So if you want to come, it's $100. That covers, there's college days going on as well, but that covers, if you're going to the conference or to college days, that covers traveling, that covers the gas, that covers the conference registration, that covers lodging at the conference, and that covers food at the conference. It does not cover food on the way up there, so if you want to take a 16-hour trip without eating, that's fine. It's up to you. Or you can bring some snacks with you. Some people bring food with them. That's good. But if you're planning to do that, do keep in mind. Also, if you're planning to come for this, space is limited. Okay? You know, it's fine if you bring a suitcase. But I think we went on a college trip one year. I forget who it was. But they brought, like, three suitcases of stuff. I'm like, this is only a 5-day trip. How much, you know, it was a girl, okay, you know. But it was like three suitcases. No, what was it? A guy. I forget who it was. It was somebody. It was a guy. That's right. It was a guy. It was three suitcases. Sorry, it was a guy. Man, brought like three suitcases. Well, it was two suitcases and a little thing and then a backpack and then like his entire bed, not a sleep bag, but like an entire bed in a trash bag. I was like, are you moving out or what? You know, so we were able to squeeze all that in. So we kind of need to know in the near future, probably in the next week or two, how many people are going to be going for sure. Because it kind of depends whether we take the 12-passenger van with and not have to pull a trailer, or we have to take the 15-passenger and we have to get a hitch on it and things like that. So we need to know that. Because the 15-passenger does not have a hitch on it, but the 12-passenger does. So we might just throw another seat in the back of the 12-passenger and then tow with it. We're probably going to end up doing that. Plus, that's one that has cruise control and all of those wonderful things. And for those of you who have driven a 15-passenger van many hours without cruise control, our feet are going to be overjoyed because you get a cramp right in your ankle.
because you have to hold that down in just the right spot, right? Those guys say, oh, yeah, well, you know, you're driving for like 4 or 5 hours, you get that cramp right in your ankle. So we're thankful our new one has, our older new one, our 98, has cruise control. So looking forward to that. But I guess they don't make them with cruise control anymore, a lot of them, for safety reasons or whatever. But add aftermarket on there. All right, let's have our ushers come forward for our evening offering tonight. As mentioned this morning, we've got a new camera going in this week, Lord willing. And I don't know, does anybody have a package on the way that they have shipped to them right now? How many of you are frustrated with UPS and FedEx right now? Just is lost somewhere. It's coming someday, sometime, and it's been in transit for like 2 weeks, you know. So let's pray that our packages come, and especially when we have a several $100 camera just kind of floating around out there. So we kind of want to know where it is. So pray that we get that coming in this week. All right, this evening, Adam, if you could ask a blessing in the offering, please.
I'll cherish. Number 132. Sinners was number 144, Calvary covers it all. 144, let's stand, please. We'll sing two verses. First and the last verses. Far dearer than all that the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. Not a Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My life with sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there. Said the thought that my soul by him bought shall be his in the glory on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of the throng, and God.
so glad for the theme of the blood tonight, and we're going to be in, First Timothy chapter number 6. I was thinking of other verses here this evening, but just thankful for that theme. Actually goes perfectly with the message tonight. I know I promised a second part of the message, but I was able to compress it and get it in this morning. So we're going to move on to other things this evening. And 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And going to be dealing with the area of contentment tonight. Just really amazing to see these, hear the songs tonight. And actually was reading in my devotions about the Passover and about the giving of the law this week and reading through Exodus and just seeing all that God did, all that God miraculously performed in the lives of the children of Israel. The last couple of weeks been going through that and seeing how God, through all the 10 plagues, took down all of the gods of Egypt, all the major gods of Egypt, including Pharaoh himself, which is what the last one, the Passover, was, that even he was not immune in his household to the power of God. And all that God did, and as you move on through Exodus, you see how God miraculously delivers them through the Red Sea and brings them through the wilderness and brings them to Mount Sinai. And maybe perhaps the way the world presents it is that they didn't receive the Ten Commandments until Moses came down from the mountain. Actually, in Exodus 20, God met with Israel and came down upon Mount Sinai and spoke to them directly, gave them the law. But then the Israelites were afraid, and they said, Moses, only you speak to us, because we're afraid that God is going to kill us if he keeps talking to us. And then the law was given to them. And so all of that was given to them. And then when Moses goes up into the mount for 40 days and 40 nights, we see that they turn away from that. Just amazing to see all of that. Good reminder for us that no matter how much truth we have, we can still be tempted to sin. Amen? And so we need to keep that in mind. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. But to see that how the blood of Jesus satisfied our deepest need, the need of our souls, a covering for sin, and Jesus satisfied our sin debt. And that's what we're looking at tonight, the gain of satisfaction. Satisfaction. Are we satisfied with Christ tonight? Pray that we are as Christian people. We ought to be satisfied with Christ, all that Christ has given, all that Christ has done, all that Christ provides for us in our life. And that's what we're going to be looking at in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse number 6. If we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, 1 Timothy 6, verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Dear Father, I pray that you would encourage us in the message tonight. Oh Lord, it's so easy to become discontent. It's so easy to desire other things, Lord. But I pray that our hearts will be turned towards you tonight. Oh, you have given us so much. We are rich indeed. And I pray that we would be satisfied with that. And Lord, that we would be reminded of the great riches that we have. And we're so thankful that we can be here tonight. We're so thankful that we can have your word in our hands and read it for ourselves. And we pray to you, Lord, for the freedom. We thank you for the freedom we have in our country. We pray that you would preserve it. We pray your blessing this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In a message entitled, The Gain of Satisfaction. We're going to be focusing on verse number 6 here for this message tonight. Contentment is not some on-again, off-again attribute that comes over us at certain times and then leaves us at other times, and that we're content with certain things and discontent with other things. But contentment is a mindset. It is an attitude of life that must be learned in different situations in our life. It can be a lasting state of mind. There are times that we're content with things, and there are times that situations change or things unexpected happen, and we can become dissatisfied with what is going on in our life.
Now, I want to make something clear here. I've preached this many, many times. I don't think we ought to be satisfied with mediocrity, okay, that we're not giving our all for God. God makes that very clear, that we ought to be giving our all for Him and our relationship with Him and in ministering. That's not the type of contentment I'm talking about here, and that's what's not talked about in this particular passage of Scripture. Remember, 1 Timothy is written to Timothy, who was a pastor. And so this is very important, especially for those that are in the Lord's work, that desire for other things. Because to be honest with you, when we live for God, we're not going to have all the toys and the enjoyments that the world has out there. Or if God has blessed you with finances and things, that's fine. But for the most part, if we're really going to live for God and not live after money, because many times people that live for money, they end up with all of those things. Because that is what they believe will satisfy them. That is what's going to make them happy. That having a boat and having an ATV, having a dirt bike and all of these things. Now, is it wrong to have these things? No, but many times people that have a lot of money, I'll tell you what, if you go to a storage place around here, if you go to Copper's Cove and different places, you go to these storage places, how many hundreds of thousands of dollars are sitting there? I'll never forget this. I had a storage unit over here, and there was a guy that he had this big, huge motorhome. I would go to my storage unit regularly. And you know when you can tell something hasn't moved for a while? I mean, this had to be one of those $150,000 motorhomes. I mean, really, really expensive. And I was in that storage unit for 2 years, and that thing never moved one time. Never was taken out, never was used. Look around here, you see how many boats and RVs and all kinds of things are sitting in people's driveways. And we look at what people are living for. Like I said, it's not wrong to have those things, but at the same time, people live for them. Even Christian people get into this mindset, well, I am not going to be satisfied until I get to this place. I'm not going to be satisfied until I am here. Well, are you satisfied with what God has given you now? That is what we're talking about here. We see in verse number 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. The statement of this includes two things, godliness and contentment. Both are something every Christian should desire. We should desire to be godly, and also we should desire to be content. If we have both in our life, then we are in a place of great gain. Look at Isaiah 58, verse 11. Isaiah 58 and verse number 11 tonight. And we live in a discontented society that constantly all around us, we see the discontent with things. You know, we see the new cell phones come out. You know, and guess what? If you go to a car dealership, you're driving a car that maybe is a little older and things like that, and you're just kind of looking around. You know what? They're trained to help you be discontented with what you have, and so that you'll buy something new. I'll never forget, I was up in Indiana when I was living up there, and I was just looking around, and I was looking at maybe getting a minivan. It was Caleb had just been born, and I was just looking around. You know, maybe we had a couple more kids, you know, be easier to bring people to church, things like that. And so I had my Honda Accord there, and so I'm sitting there, and the guy walks up to me and said, "Hey, man, you want to buy a nice car? Aren't you tired of driving around that piece of junk?" And I'm like, "Oh, really? So you think my car is a piece of junk?" I said, "I'll just let you know, that's not a great way to start off a sale." Because, I liked my car. I waxed my car. I took care of my car, you know. I didn't think, it definitely wasn't a piece of junk, but just walked up there. Guess what? How long do you think I spent there? Not very, very long. But what was the purpose of that? To get me discontented with what I have. That what people perceived about my car was that it was a piece of junk. You know how many times people buy something in the United States of America based on how it will make them look? How rich it will make them look, how they'll be perceived by their friends, and that they must have the newest model of cell phone because all their friends have it? That's a discontented society. That's not how we're to live as God's people. But godliness is what we ought to be striving for, and contentment. Isaiah 58:11 tells us this, "The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Are you satisfied with Jesus Christ tonight? That's really where contentment comes from. Are you satisfied with Jesus? Like, well, I'm satisfied with my salvation. Well, living for God and living for Christ isn't just about salvation. It's about our everyday life. So let's look at number one tonight. So that was all introduction. Number one tonight, we're going to look at the gain of godliness. Look back at 1 Timothy. Now, 1 Timothy has much to say about godliness. Godliness is living in holiness. We call it holiness, living a sanctified life. We looked at this morning the practical aspect of that, and that the boundaries God gives. So living within the boundaries, but not only that, living within the boundaries, but also having the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, all of those, and having the mind of Christ, as Philippians says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that this is what godliness is, and we ought to strive for it. And if we are striving to have godliness, and we are praying for it and seeking after it, contentment is going to be a result of that. So the entire book is an exhortation to find the path of godliness and reject all other paths. So we're going to take a little bit of a journey through 1 Timothy for a few minutes. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. We're going to look at some of the things that are mentioned here. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made to all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's a lot right there. In that, how this is how we're to live outwardly to towards those that are in authority. Now, I think that perhaps what we see going on right now, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that are upsetting that are Christian people that are going on in our country with our freedoms, and especially religious freedom and things like that. There's nothing wrong. We have a right in our country to make protest. We have a right in our country to bring attention to something that is going wrong. However, there is a right way and a wrong way to treat people. Amen. I think we'd agree with that. And that one of those ways is to lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. You know, people for many years, and I've noticed this, by the way, I don't subscribe to this way of thinking at all, but we see that, you know, people say, well, you know, we're losing our freedoms, you know, we just need to, you know, storm these politicians and, you know, take our guns and take our AR-15s and show them what's what. And we get our freedoms back. We just saw what happened on January 6th. That's what people tried to do. That's not how God would have us live. That's not Christ-like. Now, if there are freedoms are being taken away, and if it comes down to a time of war, that's one thing. But we have an obligation as God's people to present ourselves in the proper kind of way. And right here, a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Don't you want to live a quiet and peaceable life? I think that's contentment's part of that, by the way. A quiet life, a peaceable life. But what we see here going on is an exhortation. Look over at verse or chapter 4, verse 7, is that there are other ways to think. There's other ways of going in our lives. We can go down the path of, as it says in chapter number 6, look at chapter 4, verse 7. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Verse number 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. So what do we see here? An emphasis on, let's reject all the world's ways of doing things. Now, is it wrong to keep yourself healthy? No. But if you just focus on whether in the power of your might and refusing the cultural arguments and refusing the things that the other paths that are given and presented to us, godliness should always be our aim as God's people. Look over at chapter 6, verse number 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. The doctrine of Christ is godliness, not the flesh, not pursuit of riches, not pursuit of any selfish means. Verse 11 of chapter 6, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fruits of the Spirit, once again given here. This is also reiterated in Titus chapter 2, verse number 12. You don't have to turn over there, but Titus 2:12 gives us another very clear teaching on this, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so, well, why is this important? Because depending on how you live is whether or not you're going to be content or not. We live in a discontented world. World is not content. Guess what? Because they don't have the answer and they know it. So they're always searching for something to give an to find an answer. And godliness is to be like Christ. So that brings us to the question tonight, do we have the gain of godliness in our life? Are we satisfied with being a Christian and with the responsibilities of being a Christian? Are we satisfied in our relationship and in our walk with God? Are we content with that in spending time in the Word and spending time in prayer? Is that all that we need? According to the Scriptures, that's all we should need. That's who we should be satisfied with. You'll never be able to be satisfied with this world around us. Because guess what? It's always going to change. And if you're striving for people to be satisfied with you, being a people pleaser, guess what? It's never going to happen. Somebody's always not going to be satisfied with you. That's just how it's going to be. That's how our flawed natures are. But are we satisfied with Christ? What Paul was showing to Timothy, that living for God is the greatest gain there is. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Timothy, don't forget that what you're doing, what you're living for, is for God. And that is the greatest gain that there is. And once we gain a hold of that, and once we kind of the blinders come off and we see, guess what? Everything else pales in comparison. I love the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, right? Especially that part, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. And guess what? That's godliness. That's turning to God. That's turning to Christ. That is turning to Him alone and being satisfied. If you look at the Psalms, over and over again, you see David say, I'm satisfied with you, Lord. I'm satisfied, I'm satisfied, I'm satisfied, over and over again. And so why does he do that? Because David had learned to be content. And we're going to get to that. So let's look at, the gain of godliness. Let's look at, second, the gain of contentment. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Passage we know very well, where Paul gives a very powerful statement. I have to understand Paul's life and Paul's ministry and the great amount of trial and adversity he had faced. And Philippians 4:11 tells us something very, very important. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, and whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He doesn't stop there. He goes on, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now we stop here for a moment. How was Paul content? Because he was satisfied with Christ. But we see something here. Verse number 11, there's a word there, I have learned. Which means that there was a time in Paul's life that he was not content, but he had to learn how to be. And this is amazing. And actually, this particular part of it, my wife was reading morning and evening from Spurgeon, and she read this part. So I'm going to read this extra. I think it's from February 17th. And it said, these words show us that contentment is not a natural propensity of man. Ill weeds grow apace. Covetousness, discontent, and murmuring are as natural to man as thorns are to the soil. We need not sow thistles and brambles. They come up naturally enough because they are indigenous to earth. And so we need not teach men to complain. They complain fast enough without any education. But the precious things of the earth must be cultivated. If we would have wheat, we must plow and sow. If we want flowers, there must be the gardens and all the gardener's care. Now, contentment is one of the flowers of heaven. And if we would have it, it must be cultivated. It will not grow in us by nature. It is the new nature alone that can produce it. Even then, we must be specially careful and watchful that we maintain and cultivate the grace which God has sown in us. Paul says, I have learned to be content. As much as to say, he did not know how at one time. It cost him some pains to attain to the mystery of that great truth. No doubt he sometimes thought he had learned and then broke down. And when at last he had attained unto it and could say, I have learned, and whatsoever said I am, there were to be content. He was an old, gray-headed man upon the borders of the grave, a poor prisoner shut up in Nero's dungeon at Rome. He might well be willing to endure Paul's infirmity and share the cold dungeon with him if we too might by any means attain unto his good degree. Do not indulge the notion that you can be contented without learning or learn without discipline. It is not a power that may be exercised naturally, but a science to be acquired gradually. We know this from experience. Brother, hush that murmur, natural though it be, and continue a diligent pupil in the college of content. Spurgeon had a way with words. That's why I decided to read it and try and explain it. But it's very true that there are different, we can be content in certain situations. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12 for a moment. Have we learned to be content? I said, well, I am content in certain situations. But what causes discontent? We are encouraged in our way of thinking at times that, well, as long as I am more spiritual than somebody else, then I'm okay. We can do comparisons. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 tells this, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Where discontentment comes, it's like, well, I don't have all the things that so-and-so has over here. I don't have the job, I don't have the money, I don't have the house, I don't have this and that. And that instead of being content with what we have, and you know, we're encouraged to have dreams, right? Nothing wrong with having a dream. Nothing wrong with having a vision of what God can do in your life. But guess what? Life rarely turns out how we envision it. Amen? Those of you who've lived long enough, you know this, that life... you know, teenagers, I'm just going to tell you something right here, right now. Young people, life is not going to turn out how you envision it. Okay? My life hasn't turned out how I envisioned it. It turned out better. Amen? That's really how it goes. God, what God has is far better than what we have. Any plans that we have, anything, you know, it's interesting, you know, looking back at buying our house, you know, I'd always had it envisioned in my mind what kind of house I wanted and all these kinds of things. But guess what? When it came down to it, to get the house, like the house I have, is not the house I envisioned having. But I'm thankful I have it. Amen. Because God knew more than I did what I needed. We can tend to think, well, I know what I need. I know what I need to do. And guess what? You don't need to look after seek after money. I'm not saying that you shouldn't take care of your family. You know what? If you can't pay the bills and you can't take care of things, guess what? You might need another job. Nothing wrong with seeking after and trying to take care of everything, take care of the needs you have. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. But saying, well, I have this, but I wish I had more. You know what? Fred over here, he took a vacation to the Bahamas. I don't have enough money to do that, so I guess I got to work overtime because I want to be able to go to the Bahamas when I want. That's seeking after riches. That's not seeking after contentment. Instead of being content to go maybe a couple hours away and go on a little camping trip with your family and be content with that, you have to go and do something grandiose and big. Maybe you grew up. This also can be a problem with kids that grow up that tend to be more, how shall we say it, spoiled than others. That they grew up with a lot of opportunities and their parents made sure that they had more opportunities than they had. By the way, nothing wrong with making sure your children have a good education. Nothing wrong with making sure your children are raised right. But so, well, I am determined. I grew up with nothing. I'm going to have more than I grew up with and I'm going to make sure that, hold on, that's a very dangerous way of thinking. I'll tell you there. Well, I need to have more than my parents gave me. What you're saying is your parents weren't good enough and didn't give you what you needed. That's a very dangerous way of thinking. I understand some people grow up in hard situations. They grow up with parents that maybe don't care for them as they ought to. Nothing wrong with putting the goals. What I'm talking about, well, I was always I was always made fun of because my clothes were older. I had never had the cool things my friends had. That saying, I must, in order for me to be content, I must have those things. I must have more because I'm comparing my life with somebody else's. That is dangerous. And that is not a recipe for contentment, and that's a ploy of the devil to get you distracted. You know what? There's nothing in the Bible that says we must have a car that's newer than 5 years old. Right? There's nothing in the Bible that says that you got to have a certain size house. There's nothing in the Bible that says you got to make a certain amount of money. That's going to be different for everybody. I'm not knocking people that make a lot of money, okay? I'm not saying you shouldn't be making money if God's blessed you with that. And guess what? You better use it for God, though. If you're blessed in that way and you see people that, especially those, you've seen the news stories about them, you know, they are multimillionaires and billionaires, but yet they live in a normal house and drive a normal car. You know, they don't have the millions of dollar mansions. You know, they have a nice side, you know, have a nice house and they have a nice car, but you know what they say? Because I didn't, what my goal wasn't to be a millionaire. It just happened. I just worked hard. And I wasn't trying to be. Guess what? There's nothing wrong with having money, but if you're trying to be rich, there's a problem. God makes that very clear. And why do you want to be rich? This is a trap. I have heard this, and by the way, I'm just going to say this right here. This is a trap for young people today. I have heard this repeated to me probably 100 times. And I've heard this, a phrase goes something like this. Well, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to get a good job and I'm going to make a lot of money so I can give a lot of money to the church. That's great. Never will happen. Never is going to happen. Money is never a substitute for service. I'll say that again. Money is never a substitute for giving your life to God. Well, I'm going to go and make a lot of money so that I can send missionaries around the world. Okay, that's a great goal. But if you're saying I can only be a part of the missions program unless I make a lot of money, you're missing the point. Maybe God wants you to go. There has been many, many people that have given up in the inheritance of the family business of having millions of dollars. And guess what? They said, I don't want that. I'm going to go and give my life on the mission field. That's what serving God's about. It's not about a lot of money. Amen. That's what, and being content with that. Being content with the lot you've been given. Being content with the circumstances you've been given. Have we learned to be content? When we are satisfied with Christ, then we are content. We're content with our circumstances. Well, I wish things were different. Oh, I wish this. What if? Guess what? It's not what's going on right now. Be satisfied with what is going in your circumstances. Be satisfied with, are we satisfied with our responsibilities that we're given? Well, I wish I was more important. Guess what? We should not seek to be more important. We should seek to serve. We should, are we content with their trials even? Man, Paul went through a lot of trials. Paul, man, he looked at the list of how many times he was shipwrecked, every time he was beaten, all those things. You know how he learned to be content in every situation? Because he pretty much been through every situation that anybody could imagine being in. We learn how to be content through experience and through experiences in our life. And guess what? There are times that we lose our discontentment. Let's be honest, we lose it. There are times that we lose our sense of peace and we're discontented. I wish things were different. Guess what? They're not. Instead, we should look to Christ, be satisfied with what he has brought into our life, and say, Lord, I'm content because I love you and I serve you. If we know that we're in the will of God and following after godliness, then we need to learn to be content. Guess what? The will of God isn't always peaches and cream. God's direction, there might be suffering in store there. As Paul just said, he said, "I know how to abound and also how to be abased. I know how to be content." We say, "I know when things are going right, I know how to be content, and also when things are going bad, I know how to be content. I know that when I have food to eat, I'm content and I'm thankful. But guess what? I'm still content and thankful when I have nothing to eat and I'm hungry. I'm happy and content when I'm out preaching, and also happy and content when I'm sitting in a dank, dark, cold jail cell waiting for execution." That's an amazing statement. I hope we understand. That's an amazing statement to make. Because to be honest, I'll just be honest with you. If I was in a dank, dark, cold dungeon cell getting ready for execution, I don't think I'd be content. I would have to learn how to be. But Paul learned how to be content. But here's something that we have to understand. And I think Spurgeon brought out a very important point here. Are we willing to learn? You know, sometimes people make a sport out of being discontent. They like being discontent, right? And they like making other people discontent, right? They like to spread the misery instead of saying, well, I need to be satisfied with what God has brought into my life. Well, why do we need to learn to be content? Because every situation we face is different. We're face to face. Guess what? We don't have all the experience. We need to be faced different situations, and we have to make that decision. Lord, I'm content with what you brought into my life. Even though it's hard, even though I don't like it, I know that you have that. You know, when you have a flat tire, right? And, you know, you were saving that money for something important, you know? It seems to be always when you're trying to save up for something cool or something that you want, something breaks, right? The joys of home ownership, right? And have, you know, sometimes we can just like, man, I don't know, and you're just about there, and then you have to spend your money on something, right? That's life, but we can become grumbling at that. We can murmur like, oh, you know, that's not fair. It seems that fate is working against me. Does God want you to have that? Are you content with what you have? Nothing wrong with saving up for something. Nothing wrong with buying something special. But guess what? If you're going to find your satisfaction in that, you're misplaced your area of satisfaction. We need to be satisfied in Christ. We should be satisfied. Let us, what did it say here in 1 Timothy 6? With food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You have a roof over your head? Yes. Do you have food to eat? Yes. It doesn't say motor transportation. It doesn't say many other things. You know, we have so many luxuries. You know, we have the internet. We carry these around. This is a luxury, by the way. Even still, a lot of places around the world. I know it's a worldwide thing now, and you can get cell phones pretty much anywhere. But still, you know, we are not required to have this in order to be content. Right, young people? Guess what? Especially teenagers. If you have a cell phone, if you need one. I'll never forget this when I was growing up. It's back when cell phones, I mean the flip phone. Remember, it's the Motorola Razr, right? Man, that was... You know, some of you teenagers are like, man, you're old. Yes, getting there. But with the Motorola Razr coming out, and I was like, man, and really cell phones were becoming mainstream. I mean, texting, there was no such thing as a smartphone. iPhone hadn't come out yet. And I asked my dad, Dad, you know what? Some of my friends are getting cell phones. And I said, you know, it would be really cool if I got one. He's like, do you have a job? I said, no. I said, do you need one? I think I was 16. He goes, no, you're not getting one. You don't need one. You know what I had? And guess what? When I started to drive at 17 years old, I asked my dad, you know, hey, you know, do you think it would be, I think it was my mom's idea, is, you know, he's out driving by himself. Maybe he should have a cell phone. Maybe he gets stuck in the side of the road or something. My dad says, okay. So what he got me is a Verizon prepaid flip phone. This was back when text messages were 25 cents each. he gave me that cell phone. He says, you can call me when you go places and that. But he put, I think, 20 minutes on it. So he said, this is for emergencies only. Don't be calling anybody on it. I didn't know anybody's number anyway. And he said, remember, if you send like 3 text messages, you're going to use up the money that's on it. Okay? So use it only in an emergency, or you can call us for a 1 or 2 minute call when you're leaving someplace. Just tell us when you're coming home and blah, blah, blah. And guess what? There's a lot of other the kids like, hey, you got a cell phone. You know what? Yeah. And it's one of those things like, hey, I heard you got a cell phone. I'm like, yeah. You know, it's not one of those things you want to show up. You know, it's not one of those. They'll say, yeah, I got a cell phone. Let's see it. No, no, it's okay. I left it at home. Forgot about it, you know. You know why? Because it wasn't as cool as the other kids. But guess what? I had learned to be content with that. That's all I needed. Right? You know, now we have smartphones and things like that. And guess what? You can see all the cool features it has and the cool camera it has and different things like that. And get the coolest iPhone, get the coolest this and that. You know what? And they try to make you discontent and said, hey, you know what? They always send me, Verizon only sends me these things. Hey, I just got this phone like 6 months ago. And they're like, hey, you trade it in, we're going to give you like 60% off of these other phones, this other like brand new phone. Like, man, oh, you think about it for a second. Nope, this works good. I don't need anything else. What do we want and versus what we need are two entirely different things. And that's where contentment comes in. Are you satisfied with what you have? Are you satisfied with the vehicle that you have? It's still running, right? Amen. We need to be satisfied with that, right? You know? I remember my first car, it was a used car my dad let me use, right? and went to college with it, came back, and it was a car that was an interesting car. It was a great car, but whenever you get in a heavy rainstorm, the engine shut off, just shut off. Pull over the side of the road, just die on you. Actually, my dad and I were driving it, and it died in the middle of a blizzard in Ohio one year, literally in the middle of a blizzard, and just pfft. But guess what? I was thankful because a lot of other people didn't have cars. You know why I was thankful? Because the year before that, I had a bicycle. How many of you have ever ridden a bicycle in 110-degree heat and 100% humidity in Florida for like 5 miles? I didn't think so. Don't do it! I was thankful to have a car that had air conditioning, right? No, Adam's got a truck back there and everything, you know. Doing awesome. Driving a stick shift over there, right? And guess what? So are you content with your truck, Adam? Good. He's a thumbs up. He says, man, I can't. I'm trapped now. I've got to say it. No. But no, he is. He's thankful for it. He can get to work, get around. That's all he needs, right? His mom and dad are saying, yeah, that's it. Yep, that's all he needs. That's right. That's all he needs. Oh, man, we could wish we had so many different things. Wish we had. I could go on and on and on, which I'm not going to. As we looked at Psalm 37:7 the other week, oh, we be content with the Lord, to rest in Him. So here's a contentment quiz tonight. Are you a contented person? Are you content in a general sense of the word, in that you're content with how things are? You're content. I'm not saying apathetic. There's a difference between being content and apathetic. Well, I just don't really care. That's not contentment. Is I'm thankful for what I have, and I'm contented. And by the way, contentment and thankfulness go hand in hand. Are you content with the money you're providing for your family? Are you content with the home that you have? Are you content with the spouse that you have? Amen. Guys, I should be 100%. Yes, I am. No. Ladies, too, you know. Well, I just wish they were this or that. Hello? Contentment. You can't change them. God can. So let God do His work, and you just be content with who they are. Are you content with the ministry that God has given you to do? Well, I wish I did something more important. I wish I did. I wish. That's the dangerous phrase. I wish. Guess what? God has given you responsibility. God has given you a place. Let's be content with that. Are you content with the things that you have, or are you constantly seeking for more? Content with the clothes you have, the shoes you have, the things that you have in your house, your furniture, things like that? Or are you one of those people that has to redecorate their house every 2 years because you don't like how it looks? Guess what? My parents bought a couch in 1995, and it was still there when we moved out in 2011, and it moved with us, and it was in the house. I think they eventually got a new one. I mean, it was a huge thing. Guess what? Because it wasn't broken. It didn't have a tear in it, and my mom kept it super clean, bought it brand new. That used to be the mindset of the past generations, right? Those of you that are a little bit older, guess what? You went and you bought it when you were in your 20s. You spent $1,000 on it, and you didn't get rid of it until it fell apart. Right? Amen. And you got a neutral color that would go with all the different styles of curtains through the years, right? Guess what? The decorating of our house never changed my entire time I was growing up. It was always the same. We had downstairs in our, we had 3 levels of our house. We had the upstairs where the bedrooms were, the middle was the living area, then we had a basement where my mom and dad's dental lab was, and we did our homeschool. And we had a couch down there. It was like a love seat that we would sit there and do different things. It was from 1960, I think. And it was all like the flower power, you know, look on it. And it was ripped, and it had the stuffing hanging out. And all of this stuff. But guess what? No one saw the downstairs, so we didn't care. You know what? And that mom and dad weren't concerned if the dog laid on it. Mom and dad were concerned if we wrote something on it. It was just there. And I think what happened, we eventually burned it, I think, is what happened with that. But when I was a teenager, we eventually burned it. But guess what? I remember many hours just laying there. We had a television there with our videos that we would watch. And had and this was a... And by the way, you're talking about, you know, TVs or flat panels. We had our flat panel. It was up on a shelf. I still wonder why this thing didn't kill us. But it was, I think it was from 1970, color television. You know, it was one of those ones you pull, go doom, you know, and it like sits, it takes like 5 minutes to warm up, and do that. Some of you don't, some of you, you two have no idea what I'm talking about right now, but some of you are just like, you know, and, it, and then, it, you know, when you push a button, it goes, you know, does that whole thing. That's not a special effect. TVs used to do that, okay? It was like a special effect in movies now, but we had that up there, and guess what? We'd ask Deb, you know, hey, can we get another television? He's like, is it still working? Yes, sir. No. Works it. You know, I figured out why, because that thing weighed at least 250 pounds. It was like this big, big, it was like probably big as this pulpit and about this high, solid wood. I don't know how he got it up there on that thing. I wonder why it didn't fall off. It was off one of those, like, those adjustable track and shelf things, and I wonder why it didn't fall off the wall. I found out he lag bolted it to the wall. But, you know, and asked that up there for like 15 years. But why? Because we were just satisfied with what we had. My parents never had a new car. We always got, we had our best van I remember, I wish I had it this past week, was a 1995 Plymouth Voyager all-wheel drive. You didn't know they made an all-wheel drive. My dad didn't either, but so when he saw it, he said, I need to buy that. I think he bought it for like $1,500. And that thing would go through like 2 foot of snow. We drove it around the yard one time. We got 2 feet of snow. We just drove it around the yard. The thing was awesome. Would go anywhere. Better than a truck. And then my dad wanted to save fuel, so we would take the drive rod out for the back wheels out in the summertime. And guess who got to do that? Me. You'd take it out. But those type of things, and we would just buy stuff, and we'd run it into the ground. But it wasn't about going and buying. And we would go look at cars. My dad liked to go look at cars. We'd go look for fun. Just a noise salesman, you know, to go take a test drive and everything. And they say, so you thinking about buying? My dad would say, oh, I wasn't planning on buying. I just wanted to see what the new car was, just what it was like, you know, just to test it out. You know, noise salesman to death. But are we content with what we have? Maybe tonight the Lord's showing you some things that maybe you're not thankful for or content with. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's, you know, are you content with your children? We always wish maybe our children were more of this or that. We shouldn't. There's nothing wrong with aspiring things for your children and desiring them to be something. But, well, they're just a disappointment because they haven't attained what I expected of them. Are you content with your children? That's important. Won't you be content in what has been provided for you? Remember who gives you all things. The Lord Jesus gives us everything. God above provides everything. He's provided us salvation. He has provided us our families. He has provided us our jobs. He has provided everything. And when we say, I don't like it, oh, what a terrible thing. The God of all love and mercy and grace has given us, we're truly rich. We may not have a big bank account, but we're rich in heaven if we have godliness. It's great gain to have godliness and contentment. It's great gain. Do we have that gain in our life tonight? Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for this evening. I pray that this message has been encouragement. I know it's been encouragement to me. Oh, Lord, it's so easy for us to be discontented and to desire other things. Lord, I pray that we be like Paul and learn to give things over to you, to learn to be content, and that we desire it, and that we would discipline ourselves and not allow the discontentment to rise up in our heart and our life, and to wish things were different, and to envy other people and other situations. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would lay that all aside, and we would desire godliness, and that we would have thankfulness in our heart. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will bless our invitation tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as we rise to our feet tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed, tonight, maybe the Lord's spoken to you tonight about an area of your life that you're not content with. Maybe your relationship with God, maybe godliness isn't in your life as it needs to be. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Maybe you need to lay some things aside, some ambitions, some things that you desire in your life. And so, while those things are distracting me, I'm not desiring godliness, I'm desiring what I want. Maybe it's an area of contentment. So, well, I desire to be like Christ, but I've fallen prey. And guess what all of us do? We fall prey to discontentment at times. We're discontented with the situation. Doesn't matter what it is, but we're just not satisfied with what God is doing in our life. Will we lay that at the cross tonight and say, Lord, forgive us. Help us to be thankful. Maybe we have a situation right now when we seem to fail in this area of contentment. Will we come to the Lord and say, Lord, teach me. I want to learn how to be content. Take your handfuls tonight, turn to 507, His way with thee tonight. We let Him have His way. 507, as the words say, is that His way is always good. Amen. His way is always good. Let's sing. The altars are open. You come tonight.
If you need more, we've got boxes of them. So if you want to take some, give them down your street, give them to your neighbors, go ahead and grab some and get those out this week. Brother Hammonds, if you would close this, please.
Well, I hope you have a good week and be safe out there. Don't forget, COVID's still going around. Protect yourself, protect others, and have a blessed week. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for Tony and Rachel and Zoe being here tonight. Good, so good to see them again. Thank you for their faithfulness. Watch over them as they probably making their journey back to Gatesville tonight. Watch over them, protect them. And then, Lord, the rest of us, help us, Lord, to be content with what you've given us and to look to thee for everything that we need. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.